Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight we are doing the Gravity Falls late night episode
of Puppet Theater.
I don't know where I'm going with this. Hey guys, this is Those Guys. I'm Matt Marrero.
Can we cut that off? That's kind of scary.
Got it, boss.
Thank you.
Got it, boss man.
If you gave me Ave Maria, though, I'd probably have laughed my ass off. But... I'm really glad they gave me that moment. That was my favorite moment of the entire episode. But
the entire episode was my favorite moment of the entire episode.
That's a cop-out. That's like when a video is 22 minutes long. It's like, my favorite part was 000 to 22 minutes. Shut up.
Also, in case anyone isn't aware, hello, I'm Matt Marrero. I'm one of your hosts. And
I'm Satish Ram. I'm your other host tonight.
Yes, and we're talking about Gravity Falls, Season 2, Episode 4. Yeah. So, good episode. Thank you. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yeah, I mean, we constantly beat into the ground the fact that it's really hard to talk about something that's done well, but I think we can get a lot out of tonight, because I was actually very, very pleased with a lot of stuff that went on. And there were a lot of little hidden things and the ciphers, so there's enough for us to fill up some time.
Well, of course. What I have to say about this episode is I was extremely excited that I thought this was going to be another filler. And they have this great way of, you know, either taking fillerish, you know, filler-esque ideas and adding enough plot to them to make them either character relevant or, in this case, completely plot relevant.
Yes.
And
it could have been filler, and I don't think a lot of us would have been too angry or surprised because, hey, it's the fourth episode.
You know, exactly, where it makes me wonder if they might be going along with the, when I wasn't thinking of this until right now, they may be going along with that whole half-season, mid-finale type scenario, but it might be at episode 12 or something, not to, like, you know, be that soon, but they're doing a lot of plot-related stuff very soon.
Yeah, I mean, we found a laptop in episode 2, and we may have seen the last of the laptop 2 episodes later. Not what I expected at all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, and it's very confusing because, you know, we always talk about how in wrestling they always try to prolong their storylines because it's a weekly episodic television show, so they always try to prolong everything. So it's just, are these two going to turn on each other? Will they stop being best friends? Find out eventually. And then you're sitting there 6 months later going, maybe they will, maybe they won't. How will you know? Keep on tuning in. Where here it's just, you know, will Dipper find out what's in the laptop? Actually, no, because Bill's here. Didn't think that was coming, did you?
Yeah, it was fun for me because I saw the preview that, you know, mentioned that Bill would be there. So I was expecting
that.
So didn't
that
know what the hell he was going to do.
Right.
And I actually did not see the whole puppet thing coming. Like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was thinking maybe, like, he's going to take over the puppet. Like, you know, we talked about this whole Puppet Master thing before. And I thought that if he took the puppet, he would somehow become, like, a demonic god or something. And then, like,
course,
ruin everything, you know?
Easily.
So I didn't like I didn't expect it at all. And I
of
was
course.
Like, oh, fuck, I should have saw that coming. And I kind of laughed a little to myself. I was like, oh, God damn it. But his appearance in this episode.
It might be because I accidentally swayed you in the opposite direction. Because, of course, you know, you and I both thought, if puppets are going to be involved, why wouldn't they go for the traditional, even for Gravity Falls, it's just, creepy puppets. But no, they managed to keep the puppets relatively fun for the show. And it's funny because,
I love you too, but I have to go fight in the war.
The war thing, it's weird because when he first said the war, I laughed, but then I also thought, this can be taken offensively. Then immediately it turned into Starship Troopers, and I was okay.
I love lost my breath laughing at this, just one, the faces on the puppets at that moment, and two, he was fighting a giant sock octopus monster with
strobe lights. That's what I'm saying. Basically,
I lost it. I was like, this is so fucking Mabel.
No, because it's that, I mean, you sit there and be like, how will I, no, it's a funny thing because in a way it's just, you know, it feels like it's like commentary. Like, how would a child, especially one like Mabel, interpret war?
Glorious strobe light, giant monster fighting.
And immediately Gabe is now ripped.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you
that's...
saw that, right? Immediately just pops up with the muscly, you know, little puppet thing.
Yeah,
and
no,
then just runs
laugh.
Off.
Going to war immediately,
yeah.
He just turned into, like, this equipped six-pack man. I was funny. I thought we were going to go through this episode in order, but it's just so much to talk about in terms of, like, what went on. And
it's okay. I understand if we're going to move around a bit. Don't worry. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, we can take a shot to getting it in order, I mean, but...
Well, let's try. So let's see. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? I thought that Gabe was Tom Kenny for a bit.
Yeah,
then you proved me
the
wrong.
Voice actor was a new guy, and admittedly, I thought he did a pretty good job. I don't know if he was purposely trying to sound like Tom Kenny, but if so, you know, good job. Like, he definitely sounded like a guest voice actor. They, according to what I know so far and what the wiki seems to have confirmed, there are no guest voice actors for this episode. And
right.
I jokingly said to Matt that this may be because they had to get the rights to Ave Maria.
Oh, I hope so. That's just, it's so wonderful.
Like, that's their budget for the episode. Nope, no guest voice actor. We're going to go get Ave Maria for that 1 5-second scene that made the episode for me.
Right. But that really was a spectacular moment. This entire episode, again, I have to say, it was a spectacular moment. It's very funny because, you know, you always hear us say this about Gravity Falls, but still, this episode was just really, really good. Like, I feel like they're somehow able to get better and better and better as they go on.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
This was, in terms of animated TV, right? I mean,
right.
This had a lot of elements of something that you could really look at and say, this is a complete television show. Because,
yeah.
You know, and not saying, you know, one episode alone can make a show, but you look at this one, and we had this villain come back, and we had his interactions with the main character. We had some character development between the two co-main characters, Dipper and Mabel. And there was a lot of stuff going on in this episode that proved why Gravity Falls is, you know, at the top tier of current animated on television shows.
Yeah.
Bill really sells episodes for me. I have
he
to
does.
Admit, I am so fond of him as a villain and everything that he does. And, you know, I mean, we're not even halfway there. I mean, we're just talking about the beginning. So we've got Mabel and Dipper in the beginning and Gabe. Who,
yeah.
One episode Gabe. Crazy puppet. Was it puppet crazy? Puppet crazy Gabe.
Yeah. Which, like, they call me. What I think is wonderful is just the fact that she was trying to. Not, okay, she wasn't trying to out-crazy him, but in a way, you know, that's how the script was written, where it's just out-crazy to the point where he thinks I'm completely infatuated. You know, yeah, they used to call me Puppet Crazy Mabel. It's just like, that's exactly what they used to call me. It's like,
In the beginning. All right, so his whole little thing, I was like, first off, weird little thing that I don't know if it matters at all, but that little alphabet pad that he was sitting on, it stopped at X. Don't know why. But it stopped at X. I can't think of any reason why that would be relevant. Perhaps it was just like an animation thing or they were just, you know, they didn't really finish it off. But it seemingly stopped at X, which I thought was interesting. So
now confirm something for me. How many letters are in the alphabet?
26.
26. So if you take out those last two, it's 24. Which means that if you divide that by 2, it's 12. Which means that if you take my theory from before with where they're going to split the episodes up for this season, it might be at 12.
Sounds about right.
And if you also think about 12, right, you split that in two, that's 6, right? You look, you know, you take that, you split that up into 3. You turn that around, and that's the exact way the eyes of the reptilian overlords look in our government.
Right, and if you take that 3 and you multiply it by 4, you get 12, which is the amount of months in the year, which means that after our break at 12 episodes, we're probably going to have to spend a year waiting again.
Yep. That. Hello, Black Dynamite. So anyway.
Yeah. But no, so, yeah, I don't
think
it had any plot significance whatsoever, but I just noticed I was staring at the X. Like, that's weird. But also weird is Gabe. And his crazy puppet-ness.
Everything.
His obsession with having them make out, which I thought was...
It was
very
crazily,
tastefully done.
What's funny is at first I was like, but then after at the end I was like, this is beautiful. Because at the end it was just like, oh, you know, and of course the fact that they had personalities of their own.
Right, which was scary almost.
You missed that. Was it? Yeah, which is like, you missed that timing thing. What? It's like, guys, stop fighting. I was just like, I really liked her realization.
Like, this is not good.
No, what I really, you know what's also another thing, too, and I didn't realize this while watching, but now it really dawned on me. Sadly, because we knew about Bill, we knew he was going to be involved in some way. But if you didn't know about Bill, like if this was a complete cold open to you, in your eyes, you might think Gabe will be the problem. In this episode.
Yeah, totally. Like, without knowing about Bill, you would definitely sit there and think, Gabe has possessed puppets. You know, because we've had Gideon already, you know, and everyone in this town has something weird about them. So you would think, hey, you know, and Gabe is new, so I guess it doesn't, you know, that's why he's safe. But he is also kind of kooky. So he does fit the town mechanics because he's nutty, you know? But you could definitely convince someone who's coming in, like, without knowing that Bill's going to be there, that, oh, man. Gabe has got some kind of creepy, crazy puppet thing going on here, and then Mabel's going to get sucked into it, and they're all going to die. And Puppet Master.
Yeah. And
yeah,
it's just
totally
actually,
okay with that.
No, he just has mental issues, you know? Which, again, I love at the end when Mabel just actually, you know, she sat there and she realized, wow, I dodged a bullet there.
I loved the line actually saying, like, dodged a bullet. I was like, that's, you know, pretty accurate.
But, yeah, it was just, you know, again, it was a very nice episode. Gabe is a friggin' nut job. And, yeah. Also, I'm ready, baby.
Yeah.
Mama!
Oh, that, which I didn't get at first. Because I was like, huh? And then when I watched it a second time, I was like, fuck, I get it now.
You know, because not just that, when you pause it, the book says, where babies come from. And then when you open it, it says, Mama. It was just like, ugh.
That's not good.
I was just like, that's terrible.
No, that was fun. Also, so
but,
back in the, they were in the library, right?
Yes, they were in the same library.
Yeah, they haven't really mentioned that much since the last time they were there in Irrational Treasure, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So, you know, library makes a reappearance. So that's just the opening, you know, and it's just besides the humor. Dipper opens up, you know, the laptop is working, and the screen is Stan's portal, which is significant. And then we've got an 8-character password, which Dipper probably, I don't think he tries password in the beginning, does he?
I've heard he tries password,
no,
but I don't think
he does try password. I don't know if he does that in the...
Yes. Also, I'd like to add, just in case anyone is listening in and they want to call in and talk to us about this episode, how good it is or possibly how bad it is, if you, you know, want to take that opinion. Hey, you know, take that side. Why not? The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. And, of course, if you're listening in and for some reason your internet's going screwy, I don't know, maybe it might be a specific day that they're actually slowing down the internet for some reason. Would never happen at all, but, you know, sometimes it can to show you how bad cable companies can be if they actually purchase.
Look that up, people.
Look that up. So anyway, you know, you can also call in, again, 718-664-9468, just to listen in. And if you don't press 1, you'll just sit there as a listener, and of course we won't put you on the air. But if you do want to call in and speak to us, press 1 when they ask you to.
Yeah, and it's not a hard and fast rule, meaning that if you call in and you don't press 1 at first, you can actually press 1 while you're listening at any time, and we'll get the alert. So you have that opportunity no matter what. So if you don't want to call in to just ask a question, you want to listen at first, you know, feel free. You're not obligated to call in and have to ask us a question or get on air with us. We'd love that, but of course, you know, You're not obligated. Right. We're just glad you're listening.
Also, I'd like to mention, after that, Mabel, when she had the book with the heart in it, I actually screamed at my computer screen. I just screamed, how many books does she have?
I like how prepared she is for everything, whether it be sweaters or books or jokes. Like, her character is so well written for humor, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent stuff.
What I think is good about her character is that while she is, you know, whimsical, and she's, you know, like, she's whimsical, and she's kind of what some would say, quote-unquote, girly, you know. But the thing is, where she does break the stereotypes, where that, you know, is the fact that, sadly, even to this day, there are many people in this country who think women aren't funny, you know. So I think it's nice to kind of just teach kids at an early age, like, hey, look, it's a funny girl character doing something in a show, and actually being smart about it and witty. You know, yeah, she doesn't seem smart half the time, but, you know, she really is witty with these jokes where they just really just come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very creative and artistic, which is nice. You know, it's really nice that you can tell, I'm sure, that Alex Hirsch brought his own, you know, of course some of his own fantasies when it comes to what he wanted to do as Dipper, but at the same time, hopefully brings his sister's personality into this character to, you know, kind of give people an accurate representation of how kids can be and how people can be.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked multiple times about saying that his sister is the inspiration for Mabel. And
yes.
It definitely speaks to what kind of an opinion he must have of his sister. Because Mabel is written as a very excellent character, both comedy-wise and the fact that she is constantly developing. You know, you saw within this episode alone, she was able to come to terms with the fact that she had not been the best sibling.
Exactly.
So,
which
that was nice to see. And, it was an accurate thing to address.
Of course. And what's really nice, too, is that Dipper also learned a lesson because, you know, some people who might think, oh, well, you know, Mabel learned a lesson, but Dipper didn't. He learned not to make deals with the devil. I think that's a pretty damn good lesson, and to not let people manipulate you into making deals with the devil. Because
it was really – I don't know how to describe it, but the way it was done, I mean, Bill knew exactly what he was doing the whole time.
And the devil. It was
but it makes me wonder, you know, and we'll definitely talk about this throughout the show, but is he bound to this deal or something of that nature? Like, so, and if so, did he somehow give away the password without us realizing it or something like that? And, you know, we're not going to know because as we are aware of, or at least to our knowledge, the laptop is broken. So that's that.
Right, so... Yeah, I feel like he's the kind of person who it would have weaved the message in there somewhere.
Yeah, because
but at the same time,
still, on Reddit,
you know,
I will say, was speculating that,
right.
And I'm not normally a Reddit person, but the Reddit Gravity Falls board is usually pretty solid. So someone was speculating that right before he was talking to Dipper to make the deal, he said TikTok, you know, and TikTok is 8. You know, 8 characters. And, of course, it's a plan of speculation. But, you know, we don't know what that password could be. We don't know.
Right.
So there's a lot of things. And logically, he could have potentially fulfilled his end of the bargain by saying that before taking the body. And this is based off the fact that, you know, with Gideon, I mean, he was willing to fulfill his end of the bargain first.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of doing whatever Gideon wanted first. So
yeah, it's a very interesting,
like,
you know,
topic.
Because
either way works. You know, I just want to know for sure, is he the type of guy that's bound by his word? Like, is the devil's deal, does it consume him as well? You know, or did he just have to make connection with Dipper to steal his body? And did he just say whatever the hell he wanted?
Well, it's weird. Because it's a situation where they said, of course, you know, we've heard before that Bill is not to be trusted. However, at the same time, you know, we don't know how exactly. Where a lot of the things that Gravity Falls takes its inspiration from, monsters-wise, for all we know, Bill could be a genie in a way. And the ideal of the genie the djinn, where it's just the idea of, oh, yeah, you get your wishes, but here is the price. Also, if you've ever seen the movie Wishmaster, it also kind of works the same as well, where it's just, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like, I, you know, like, let's say, like, some guy, you know, is saying, like, he wants, like, women to love him. He's like, yeah, I want chicks to dig me. Chickens are now digging his grave. You know? It's like, well, I didn't mean to. It's just, well, you should have. You know, like Bill's just there. Well, you should word yourself a little bit better there, buddy. Now you're going to die. See ya. So, you know, something like that, where it's just you wished for what you wanted. You technically got it. You technically got your TikTok. But at the same time, I also broke your computer because that was nowhere in our agreement. You did not expect that coming. You did not see that coming, did you, Dipper?
Yeah, I mean, the whole agreement was obviously thrown to shit. But,
right.
So, you know, starting from the beginning of the episode, I mean, it was funny that Mabel, not only did she go ahead and conceive this whole idea of a sock puppet show for Gabe, she,
right.
in her head, somehow told him it was a rock, you know, sock opera complete with
yeah.
special effects. Like, she went whole hog, as Gabe said. Which made
right.
me laugh, because I was like, of course if Mabel's talking when she's in her whole infatuation mode, she's not logical. So she's just like, yeah, lights and strobe and rock opera. And I'm just like, that makes perfect sense. That makes absolutely perfect sense, actually.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And then, of course, her describing the show is also quite beautiful. People's eyes will be wet from crying, from laughing at how tragic it is.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, God damn it. I have nothing to say to that. I have nothing to say.
I just don't know how to respond. I just laughed. I couldn't
no,
say
and then
anything.
Wendy's just like, you know what? You got to roll with it. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You do. That's it. That was the best way to describe
it. I love.
You got to roll with it.
I really enjoy Wendy's ability to just say, hey, look, you know what? I'm having fun with these kids. Like, what else am I going to be doing? It's a nice, you know, it's nice. You know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was such a good episode. Also, we have ourselves a caller, so I'd like to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Daniel.
Okay, and by the way, that chicken joke with chickens digging a grave, yeah, you gave me a Legend of Zelda thing, like just a flashback to that.
Oh, I sadly have only played the first Legend of Zelda, but hey, maybe one day that will be an episode.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, I don't give a damn about mass promotions and crap. I don't know. So, Daniel, I assumed
yeah.
you've seen this episode, which aired on Disney XD on Monday.
It will be airing on Friday night for regular Disney viewers at 9 o'clock.
Unfortunately,
yes.
my cable went out. So I have to see it today.
Oh, but the point is you saw it. That's what matters,
yeah.
Which is good. Because, you know, I'm sure it's also on Disney's actual website, because I know they usually upload them on there as well. And I'm sure it's on Amazon Prime, you know, Instant Video, and all these other on-demand cable, all this other stuff. So anyway, how did you enjoy the episode?
Oh, it was a really nice episode. Because Bill and Dipper's body is just funny. Like, pain is hilarious.
Race you down the stairs. Yeah, he's wonderful.
That on Tumblr.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy to see that. I might post that on our Twitter then, because that's just wonderful. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's so many good things about what happened. But yeah, what was your favorite part of the episode?
Well, I like it when at the ending where Mabel's taking on Bill and Dipper's body. And it's just like, Bill asks her, who would sacrifice everything they worked so hard for? And she said, Dipper. And like, Mabel finally sacrifices something for her brother, for her younger brother.
Yeah, no, she finally gets it, you know, because most of the time it's Dipper giving in, and then she will help him, but after a while, where she finally realized, wait a minute, there shouldn't be an after a while. Dipper would give everything right now. I will as well. You know,
yeah.
It's really nice to realize that, and especially when, and it's really funny too how we didn't even note this yet. It was Bill's own undoing. Kept his own damn mouth shut. It would have worked. But it was just, you know, he said the word stupid sibling, and she was like, wait a minute, Dipper would. You know, it's really funny how Bill has just forgotten all of these human ties. Or you know, if he ever was in a body anyway, because he said he was in a body before, which is a creepy thought. But
maybe he thinks he takes over bodies.
That's even creepier, but I assumed as much, yeah. But still,
yeah,
he's still forgotten how to even, like, approach people in some, even if he's been possessing bodies, it still had
yeah.
to have been so long, because he doesn't know things about human. Like, he just felt like he was so oblivious to everything that I was honestly a bit upset that, because I thought Wendy was going to launch a counterattack. Like, did you feel
yeah.
the same, Satish?
Yeah, I mean, based on the way that he was talking, I certainly thought that there was going to be something there. But it could speak to the fact that Bill has been around for so long that that's how he perceives that women should be treated.
Yes, well, that's obvious. Fair enough.
Because
but
his
I
speech
also...
pattern reflected something of, like, you know, not the present day. But
right.
just, like, you know, Toots and Red, and that was something that, you know, I thought was, like,
right.
old times.
Well, no, that's obvious.
Can
what I was saying is, I'm both
yeah, wait, can I say, I may have missed this, but I may have missed something. I was, but did she ever refer to Wendy as anything, like, on the wheel of something?
No, I don't believe he's addressed Wendy at all to this point, because we know that normally he talks to characters, at least when he's himself, by their symbol.
Yeah.
Right. So,
because,
as of right now, Wendy shouldn't know about his existence. Of course, that's going to change because of how close-knit she is with the Pines family now, which is nice. But as of right now, she doesn't know about him. So she wouldn't know. The thing is, I can understand why she wouldn't think, hey, it's you, Bill. But at the same time, I did feel a bit awkward because, you know, some of the words that he used, I thought she was going to be, you know, there was going to be some weird thing where it's just, you know, hey, I'll be right back. And then it's just like, actually, I know you're not Dipper, or something like that. Because
yeah.
the language was obviously a lot different than what Dipper would usually, unless she just sat there and just thought, well, Dipper's being awkward and confusing again. That would be funny. Where it's just, Dipper doesn't know what to say to me, so he's calling me random names from the 50s.
Jeez.
But no, I just assumed that there would be something from either her or Stan, where, you know, if Stan, obviously the voice isn't the same for them, but the ideal...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Stan knows about Bill.
Well,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But, like, he couldn't piece this together?
I mean, that's the thing. I assume that's the thing. I understand. I assume they just wanted it to be a brother-sister episode. They didn't go that deep. But they could have done a little something here or there. But, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world because the episode was pretty much perfection. But there was a little bit of, huh, like... You know, that, like, that's kind of scary if Stan, someone who seems really knowledgeable about all of this occult stuff and whatever, it's kind of going over his head. Because most of the other stuff until now, we thought it went over his head. He knows everything that's going on for the most part.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Satish?
I think for me it was just a matter of there was no reason for anyone to be suspicious during this episode except Dipper and Mabel. You know, like, and I'm not trying to pick up for them because it is indeed sort of a flaw because, you know, his character, Bipper, is definitely not acting like the way we expected from Dipper. But
right.
that being said, like, it was a general, to the rest of everybody, Mabel's doing her crazy thing and we're putting on a sock puppet show. Nothing else had gone weird throughout that scene for those characters. So
true.
To them... There's no reason for them to be on edge at the moment.
That's true. I guess that's what it is. It's just the idea of just... Because I don't know. I mean, I'm a weird kind of person where for me, like, if I... Like, I can talk in 30 different ways and everyone would be like, oh, yeah, you know, he's just being funny. And it's like, no, someone's taking over my body. Damn my humor. Right? But there are certain people, I feel like, in our group of friends where even if everything's just fine, if they started using certain words like that, I'd just be like, you know, even just a little bit, hey, you okay? Oh, yes, I'm fine. You know, just like a one-off, you know, something silly. Like, I don't know, like, it's not my hugest complaint where it's just, and this is why the episode is terrible. But hey, just, you know, throwing a little something.
Yeah, I guess it's definitely something where it's a matter of, like, we can only assume that they had limited interaction as well.
Yeah,
or limited time, because with everything great that happened in the episode, it's obviously hard to fit in, you know, certain things here and there, you know,
yeah,
obviously.
Because,
I mean, time.
Also, Bipper took the car with Wendy and Seuss, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, it wasn't with Stan. So his interaction with Stan was very limited.
Well, that's fine. I
yeah,
need more Wendy, as silly as it sounds, because
Wendy is
I feel
the only one I would have assumed to be the one on edge here. And, you know, because Seuss, obviously, whether he's acting this way based on the whole the handyman knows more than he seems thing or not, you know, he was faced with the, do you want to know the exact time and date of your death? And he was like, okay, dude. And, like, you know, that fits Seuss's character because
completely.
Like, you know, yes, so with Wendy, I mean, you're definitely correct. Wendy would have been the one. So, I mean, slightly disappointed in Wendy this episode, yeah. But, again, she had no reason to think anything was off.
Yeah,
and
Wendy doesn't know everything.
No. No, she doesn't. But it's just, you know, like, I'll say this much, too, by the way, before we, you know, move on. She has seen shapeshifters before.
Yeah, so.
So the idea of Dipper isn't acting exactly the same as Dipper should, oh, damn it to hell. But, of course, I understand you, Satish, where you said, you know, all they could focus on was this puppet show, which I'm sure somewhere in her mind she went, I made these damn things. I hope they turn out well. So, you know, maybe that's what it was, but yeah, I mean, again, not the biggest thing in the world, not like a, you know, the fact that it's a situation where, as we've mentioned in some of our wrestling shows, where if they do something extremely, extremely entertaining, you're not going to sweat one small thing, right? And you look at this, and the fact that Bill appeared and was not relegated to a small cameo, I thought the dream sequence was going to be his only part in this episode. The fact that he returned and stayed throughout the entire episode was something that I can just go, well, I mean, Wendy didn't say anything, but Bill.
Yeah, but Bill.
So,
hey, okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, Daniel, thank you for calling in.
Oh,
it was lovely to hear from you.
Thank you. But I got one question.
Please.
What set of siblings have had the better summer? Phineas and Ferb or Mabel and Dipper?
Satish, I think you would be able to answer this question better than I could.
I mean, I guess it's interesting because Phineas and Ferb, while entertaining and lovable, provide more of a comedy aspect of things. And although they've had more time, so I don't think it's a fair comparison yet in terms of Phineas and Ferb has had multiple seasons, multiple movie specials, and a lot
more
attention.
And they're still in their summer?
They're still in their summer. So, I mean, it's just they've got more attention than Gravity Falls. So I think down the line it'd be fair to make a comparison. But I will argue that the two shows are the redeeming factors about the Disney Channel at the moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Many seasons have there been? Have they gone past the actual amount of days that should be in summer?
There are 7 seasons in. They've been at this for 7 years.
So I guess not.
I think Daniel's right too, which is why it's funny. I mean, they've even gone to Christmas episodes as well.
I mean,
and to be fair, like all jokes aside of timeline, right? The episode quality has been good. Like the Christmas episode was freaking heartwarming. You know, so
of course.
It's definitely, like, it's good quality TV that I'll suspend my, it's like with wrestling, you know, the suspension of disbelief kind
of
thing. Where
of
you
course,
sit there,
course.
Like, you know, we look past the whole second rope Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton thing, or Sheamus on the apron thing. So, with Phineas and Ferb, I'm willing to overlook the whole summer aspect. Gravity Falls, too, although they're still following a pretty good timeline, because they admitted in the beginning, like, oh, yeah, we're halfway through the summer, and it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, yes. So anyway, thank you for calling in, Daniel. Definitely keep on listening in, and you know, hope to hear from you soon.
Okay, if I call again, it's because I'm listening because I don't have my thing.
Good. And remember, Daniel, what you have to do is not press 1, and we won't get a notification. You'll be on our dashboard, but we won't see you know, a question mark from you. You know, nothing will pop up, so we'll know that you're listening in. But thank you for telling us.
All right.
Good night. And, of course, everyone remember, the number being 718-664-9468, 718-664-9468. You can call in, and if you don't press 1, we'll just see you there. And we might do a nice little wave, but we won't put you on the air because, obviously, you do not want to be on the air if you do not press 1. But if you press 1, we'll definitely put you on and hear your opinion on this episode of Gravity Falls.
But, yeah, so running back to what was going on in this episode. I mean, Bill's appearance in the beginning, man, I loved every second of it.
Yes.
I just everything from the whole, I think
yes.
I know a guy. You know what, kid? You deserve a reward. Here's a head that's always screaming. What? And then rips it apart.
You see,
skin to bone.
That's the thing.
For the
screaming head, I got to be honest with you. Screaming head, I wasn't so freaked out about because of the fact that they had I know a guy, which made me laugh. And then it's like, so yeah, kid, you know, I've been keeping an eye on you. I paused it to text you these quotes as jokes. But when I paused it, I had to push my laptop screen down because I couldn't look at his eye looking at Dipper at me. I just couldn't. I was like, nope.
Animation. And voice acting. I am so, so fond of Bill. And
yes.
He's not even done yet. I just...
He's still
know,
cooking.
And we can assume that, which I know you have access to, or at least I do, the cipher at the end of the episode is referring to him.
Right.
Do you have that, or do you want me to read that one out?
I have it, and I will definitely read that, because please. Here it is. Let's see. You are referring to the one which was numbers or the actual
yes,
letters?
Numbers. The
okay.
sock puppet
okay, numbers.
Page.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. No puppet strings can hold me down. So patiently I watched this town. Abnormal soon will be the norm. And enjoy the calm before the storm.
I loved that. One, because, A, they're keeping the rhyme thing for the ciphers, which is,
yes.
By the way, the cipher key for it's actually cipher. This time around, and you can find that in the reflection in the mirror when Dipper is first possessed by Bill. But yeah, it's that quote just relegates like everything about Bill was so much fun, and at the same time, you know, I'm still kind of creeped out by like some of the shit he does. And I sit there like, you know, like I am a 20, you know, I'm 20, you're 21, and
22.
God damn it, your birthday passed last week.
Know your role.
We are two people in our 20s, and
right.
We can still find a little of creepiness in this character, and, you know, that's considering all limitations the Disney Channel, whatever they have, put on him, you know, because they have to...
Well, I think that's what's amazing, where they're told, because I have to be honest with you, if it was a screaming bloody head with eyes, you know, bloody eyes, like, you know... I got to admit, in Gravity Falls, you know, animation, I would be a little bit creeped out. But I think adding, which is really a fun thing that certain people don't understand, where it's just, you know, we have to be more adult. Show the breasts. Show the ass. Show the sex. And it's just like, actually, you know, when you do that, you lose all sense of excitement. Right? Where it's just, you know, oh, we want to be more adult. Well, let's maybe show, you know what I mean? Let's show, like, bare back, and if it's going to be sex, it's going to be, you know, with a certain kind of lighting to it, and it gives you the sense of, you know, seeing and really feeling and experiencing, where you look at Gravity Falls, and it's just, had it been full, you know, exploding, vomiting bloodhead, it'd be like, oh, wow, that's creepy, but, well, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't hit you as hard, where it's just, oh, there's going to be no blood whatsoever. It's going to look like what you can see in a human anatomy class, you know, when you're a teenager or a child and you see, like, the skeleton and then they teach you what's under the skeleton, you know, what's under the skin. It's going to be just like that, except it's being ripped off of a human head. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my God, because of how little they really did, you know? That's, I think, what's frightening about it. The detail they put into it, yet not going completely overboard where you can go, that's fake, you know? It's just
yeah,
a
no,
thing of beauty.
It's totally incredible to me how they're able to do this. And that being said, you know, Bill, again, the voice acting is a big thing for me. Cause,
oh, yes.
You know, I'm not as big into, like, voice acting and knowing famous actors and voice actors like you are. You know, this is more like your career thing almost. So... You're very involved in that. So I'm not always, like, alert to, like, oh, famous voice actors or this is what a good voice actor does, you know? But I can attest to the fact that whatever Alex Hirsch does with Bill, I really like it because it's not your conventional, like, dark villain because he's got this crazy playful side, and that's what makes him more dangerous because...
That's what it is.
It's, like, psychotic without boundary. And that's,
yes.
And it's for his amusement. It appeals to, like, the side of you that appreciates, like, the Joker as a villain.
Exactly. It's the fact that he gives them this playful nature, but of course there's always a sense of danger in everything he says. Where if, you know, where you can have like, okay, if someone's, you know, if it was Batman or some, you know, voice that was just like, you know, like, want to play a game? You're like, no, Ghost Rider Nicolas Cage, but thanks for asking, whatever. Like, you know, like, but it's just, hey, you want to play a game? And it's like, I don't know, Bill. Like, what do you want to do? Let's play rip the limbs off your body. I'll start. You know, like, no.
Yeah, and you know, the characters are certainly attuned to be afraid of him. Like, you know, and
yeah.
He knows this. Like, later on, when Dipper's having an exchange with him, he's like, what do you want to do, have me eat my soul or something like that? And he's just like, relax. Why would I want to do that stuff? And then it's like, don't act like you wouldn't. Like, we don't know. Like, he's just like, it's just the funniest thing. Where, again, it's like the Joker aspect for me, where he's just like, why would you think that of me? You know, what causes you? Everyone's like, who the hell do you think you are? Did
what
you
would
forget?
Possess you to think something like that?
And it made me laugh a lot. And at the same time, it's just so enjoyable because he has a wonderful balance as a villain of humor and you have to take him seriously because you're unaware of what he can do. And even up to now, we're still unaware of what he can do. I mean, you were discussing with me through text about, like, that you don't want to believe that Dipper dreamed that.
Well, because then all of a sudden we realized he didn't dream it. But at first I thought he did, which was funny. Because at first I thought, because, yeah, at first I assumed, as I'm watching the episode, that it was going to be a mix between, like, oh, is it a dream? Is it not a dream? And then we'll find out in, like, the next episode or later episodes. All of a sudden it's just, actually, I'm right here. And I thought, oh, good God. Oh, good God.
Yeah, because he thought he dreamed it, of course. And I remember sitting there, like, I'm wondering what potential Bill has. You know, like, how can he communicate with these people? What's really going on? And he makes a comment later on about, like, how he is, like, a being of energy and basically has no weakness. And it's just really confusing because he wasn't, quote-unquote, defeated in the original battle with him in terms of, which was Dreamscaperers?
Yes.
Dreamscaperers. Where, you know, he willingly ended what was going on. And, you know, it's funny because Dipper's like, we defeated you. And, of course, Bill laughs it off because he's like, I'm right here, dude. It's like, you didn't defeat shit.
No, what I think is great is that from the way he sounds and from the way it looks like he's – it looks like he's a – and this is a weird thing to say because obviously he appeared outside of the dreams. A Freddy Krueger-type villain where it's just, you know, you mention energy and you mention the idea of, like, you know, and I feel as if for some reason it translates to the feeling of belief where, you know, we are, okay, so Bill Cipher existed in this town before Dipper found the notebook. Obviously, he was in the notebook. But the second Bill... I'm sorry, the second Dipper finds the notebook and Gideon finds notebooks as well and stuff, that's when Bill becomes summoned and becomes part of their consciousness again. So I wonder if it's the idea of, oh, we need to get him out of my mind. And, you know, the original, you know, writer of the notebook, wherever he or she may be, could be either dead or have, you know, have amnesia or something along those lines to have said, we need to get this out of my mind. You know, or the idea of Bill won't find me, you know, so he won't care. So he will go back to wherever the hell Bill's domain is. Because, again, being of energy and light, it also makes you think of it, which also relies on the idea of believing in it.
It makes me wonder because you've now mentioned, you know, the fact that Bill was, again, summoned by Gideon.
Right.
And this makes me think he was locked away by something.
Quite possibly, you know, locked away by the fact that no one thought of him, in my opinion anyway, no one thought of him, no one thought, you know, let's bring back this thing into existence. And now he was summoned, and, you know, whenever it's needed, he just appears, you know, and it's...
Because now he's operating on his own terms, which is why I think he was summoned. Because if he was operating on his own terms like he was right now, he would have been doing this already for a while.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? Like, so I think he was locked away. and had to be brought back out. That being said, there are a few things, you know, as we're running low on time here, I want to hit on that I talked to you about. One of them being the government agents.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so the government agents were back in this episode for anyone who didn't notice, and there were two very important little things involving that. First off, when Dipper as a ghost flies through the ceiling and goes down to try and meet Bill after he, you know, fell down the stairs, there is a quick flash of the interior of the house. And in the interior of the house, you can see a planted government-labeled listening device.
Ha!
First off, that is mega, mega important. I can't state enough. Holy shit, dude. You know.
Right.
Secondly, if you glance at the crowd towards the second half of the episode, in the back, and I sent this picture to Matt because I thought it was great.
I'm looking at it right now.
Covering their faces with playbills are Agent Powers and his associate from episode one of the season.
Yes.
Episode one of the season.
I want this to become the new Blandon. The point is he's bland. I want this to become the new him, because just the idea of, oh, yeah, we're here, but not really. Don't look at us.
Mm-hmm. No, and I like, because obviously they decided to stay in this town to analyze things. And I think that's great. And I like how there's no real reference to it, but they're there. They are there. And there's a listening device in the house. And, well, okay, to be fair, it is a box with an antenna and a green and red light. My first thought was listening device. It could also be some kind of other mechanism. But
it could be anything.
Eagle, it does have Agent Powers' eagle symbol on it.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit more of a confirmation then.
No, it can...
Because
I'm not confirming it's a listening device. I'm confirming that it's a government device.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is, okay, for me, when you... Because I haven't seen a picture of it yet. When you described it to me, I thought like a cable box or something, or, you know, something
else.
No. Because, again, it's a weird house.
If you look close, which if you had a high-quality view of the episode or you're able to watch it on demand and can pause it, you can see clearly the eagle symbol.
And that's what's funny about it, because it would be the government that would put a giant box in your house with their symbol on it.
Yeah, and it just makes me wonder, like, A, when did they have the time to do that?
Oh, when the pig watched the house.
No, but that's a good point. And just, too, like, what else is, like, what have they heard?
Well, that's what's interesting. What have they heard? Also,
because
I would like to mention...
between the attic and the first floor.
Also, I would like to mention to you, which is a nice thing to bring up, now that we know the government officials were in the episode, the cryptogram at the end of the episode in the ending credits makes sense now.
Go for it.
Which, you know, was... We've all had some fun tonight, but let's not forget who the real puppet masters are. Reptoids who have infiltrated our government. Which is just complete. Like, I'm really nervous about Hirsch's life right now. The fact that slipped through. I'm actually really shocked that slipped through, honestly.
I thought it was funny. But I'm just...
Well, no, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
but it's really weird that slips through, you know? Where it's like, I'm not saying that I believe in conspiracy theories and everything, but it's just really funny how that slipped through, where it's just, you know, it's just like, I don't know. Do you understand what I mean? Where it's just a weird thing to slip through, especially on what most people try to tell you is a kid's show, and I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying it's a family show. But, you know, like a kid's show. You know, it's very interesting that they let that slip through, where even if it's just like, oh, yeah, families are watching this together, and for some reason they translated the cryptogram. When you read that, if you don't know a lot about conspiracy theories, you're like, what?
Yeah, and for what
but
it's worth,
really,
as we're talking about the little cipher codes here, during the musical montage, when they've got Dipper's journal there, there's a cryptogram that, when translated, says, pure energy, not skin and bone, rising like the shepherd tone.
Yes.
And
the shepherd tone is an artificial sound wave, and apparently it sounds like it is continually rising and falling.
Yeah, so I can't confirm at all what in God's name that would mean yet. But I just like putting it out there for you guys. Because, hey, something that I don't.
My interpretation is, if that's what that means, then maybe there's a chance that the reason why Bill isn't always there is because energy is rising and falling. Therefore, he doesn't always have enough energy to make it there.
Who knows? I mean, maybe he did have to rest up since his last appearance.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, he talks about not having a weakness, and perhaps his weakness could be that because he is, you know, you can't create energy, logically.
Exactly.
So perhaps he does have to charge up or something of that nature.
Also, I would like to mention two things about Mabel, you know, since we're a little bit running out of time, but some great things. First off, Mabel juice.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's like if coffee and nightmares had a baby.
By the way, this is funny because if you check the fridge in Fight Fighters, you can actually see juice with a Kuchkin in it. A Kuchkin.
Yes, I've seen that. Yes, I've seen that, which is very – I was like, what? And it said do not touch or something, or do not drink from
Mabel.
I was like,
do not touch. And it's funny because I'm like, Mabel juice? I sat there and I'm like, is that what it is?
That's wonderful. Another thing – you know, do you remember when she mentioned that, you know, she's like, this situation has gone code Argyle.
Oh, my God, what a line, but yes.
Do you know what that means?
To my knowledge, I just laughed because of the fact that Argyle is a pattern, is it not?
Yes, it is. I looked it up myself. Argyle is a design pattern. And it's just amazing that Mabel even used that word, which is what brings us to, to our earlier point, where it's just Mabel's not an idiot. You know what I mean? She did her research.
Yeah, no, it makes me laugh because, you know, I, at first, when I heard it, I was like, what the hell is Argyle? Because I'm thinking code, she could have said code red, and I would have laughed the same.
Yeah, of course.
But she says code Argyle, and I'm like, she just gave a design pattern, for God's sakes. Like, the situation is code Argyle. I was like, God damn it. That's actually really well-researched.
What I really like too is how it's kind of like a reference to the fact that, and you know, and we've heard a lot of stories that, you know, of women saying this, where it's just the whole, oh yeah, I was into a guy and he was into, like, you know, motorcycles. So for that, you know, little bit that I was trying to be with him, I was also into motorcycles. That was a silly thing of my childhood, right? You know, or when I was younger, right? It's really funny how to see that turned into, so there's a guy that was really into puppets. Look, shut up, stop laughing.
Yeah.
Right? Which, and it's just, so I kind of got into puppets. So now I know what code Argyle means.
And speaking of puppets, to be fair, there's one thing we haven't touched on, and that is perhaps one of the coolest ending credits they've given us.
Right.
Period.
The Muppets.
The Muppets direct reference, which was beautifully done, to be fair.
Yeah.
And
which apparently
they also made reference to Kermit's angry face. When Dipper was angry.
Oh, my God. It's just, she's like, I'm sorry, you're just so adorable. Which is funny because before she mentioned it, it was in my brain a bit. But when she said it, I could not unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at first I was like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, it is kind of cute, whatever, you know, but he's trying to say something important. When she said it, I couldn't stop laughing when he got angry. And it was a huge problem.
No, I laughed because I was like, God damn it, it's the Kermit Muppet face.
Yeah. Also, I think what was really wonderful was Mabel's friend, and I feel really bad that her name escapes me, and I don't want to call her Knives. Candy, thank you. So then, you know exactly what would you...
I mean Korean.
It was Korean.
Korean. Yeah, she spoke Korean.
Okay. All right. I didn't know what language it was because it just did not sound like Korean to me.
I'm 90% sure it was Korean.
Okay.
I can get a confirmation on you that by the time we do a next Gravity Falls show.
All right, please do, because I hate to say this, but I heard Japanese, and I feel bad if I heard the wrong. Actually,
I've got a minute here, so while you keep talking, I'm
going to look up the ethnicity of the actress who is, you know, because I believe the actress is Japanese. That's why I jumped to Japanese. But anyway.
No, actually.
She's Korean.
Nikki Yang, born in South Korea.
Thank you.
So I may be...
You may be able to join a K-pop group.
Okay.
What?
Further confirming this. Do you remember when Candy took a picture of the Summerween Trickster?
Yes.
There's a bright blue Korean symbol on that photo when she edited it, and it means awesome in Korean.
That's funny. That's nice.
So, yeah, I think that will further confirm that that was probably Korean that was being spoke.
Yes, well, obviously. But most likely, I mean, I don't know why they would make her speak Japanese, so I'm going to safely assume that was Korean. But, yes, so we're at a very low ending point of our episode, but either way, what I would like to mention before we have to go, sadly, is, first off, I really like Alex Hirsch and whoever's idea was it to just go, you know what? I mean, the kids should be able to read. You know, if they can't, then they'll hopefully be next to someone who can read for them. You know what I mean? Put this on our show, because I do feel like it is a bit gutsy to put subtitles on anything at all, ever. And
it
really
was funny to me.
Yeah. It was, but it should
fit. You know, Gabe is such a dreamboat. Of course her friends are going to be like, eh, he is kind of cute.
But it's just very interesting how she started speaking Korean, where it was just, you know, usually she's speaking in English. So, it's again, it's very, I feel like it's very gutsy, because sadly we're in a country, and I shouldn't say just us, because other countries, you know, also dub over. I mean, there's specific voice actors in Japan who dub over people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, Johnny Depp, like as Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean. So, to the point where they'll dub over him as Jack Sparrow in the movies. And we'll then dub him over in Kingdom Hearts 2. That kind of dedication. Yes. So, anyway, the point is that, you know, obviously they dub it over elsewhere, but it's really upsetting how I feel like in our country, you know, the idea of, oh, you know, I should watch a movie with subtitles. It's just like, I don't want to read when I'm not in class. And I'm not in school right now. Why should I read? It's like, oh, okay.
No, but I think it worked in this particular sense.
Very well. Oh, by the way, I would like to mention, too, not only did she speak Korean, but at one point she spoke Korean and Dipper said, oh boy, as if he understood exactly what she said.
Maybe Dipper speaks Korean.
I would just, yeah, I've been taking some classes, you know, with Candy. Like, okay. But anyway, sadly we're going to have to go. Before we do, of course, I would like to mention this would be a wonderful show, I think, to put on ABC Primetime, hopefully for the Halloween season like they did with the Toy Story special. They maybe make a Halloween episode, another one, or they just plop on Summerween onto there just to kind of show, you know, just kind of put it in primetime. I mean, you look back in the day, Power Rangers appeared in primetime, you know, 9 p.m. once. It was a, kind of like a way to promote it. I remember Kamen Rider... Yeah, Kamen Rider Dragon Knight appeared, not exactly primetime, but I believe it was a Friday at 4 p.m. on CW, where it usually aired in that kind of Saturday morning slot. So either way, you know, there have been flirtations with, you know, children's shows airing a bit later to kind of be like, oh, you know, when they had a kind of appeal to them, right? So it would be really interesting if, you know, they kind of moved it to ABC, not as a permanent thing, obviously, but they put it on there for a little bit just to say, hey, look, you know, we got this cool show, and they kind of show more people that, hey, this is obviously, you know, an animated television show, but it's really a family show, like, you know, like Doctor Who and some of the other shows out there. But anyway.
Totally.
Yes. So, we would like to thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Of course, like us on Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just simply Those Guys. You search us up, and of course we'll have wrestling shows there, wrestling pay-per-views, Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, also a show called This Week in Comics, where we'll talk about certain comics that came out this week. Also, Dragon Ball Z shows, focusing on the movies, and many more. And of course, wait, so you like us on Facebook and you follow us on Twitter?
There you go.
That's what we do, thank goodness. So, on Twitter, Those Guys Radio, right? You follow us there. We'll post our shows as well as funny cat pictures. And then we have ourselves a Gmail, Those Guys on the Radio, where on our Gmail you can email us show suggestions as well as advertising opportunities, because we can, of course, advertise your product, your company, as long as it's legal, on our show.
We will advertise it. Matt will pitch it.
We will. Yeah. So, again, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Signing out.